It is an encounter with God's word that guarantees a life of dominion. Join Pastor Stephen Enoko, lead pastor, Love Embassy Church, as he brings the message of the kingdom with all simplicity, authority, and power. God bless you as you listen.
Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in us, we pray.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We receive understanding. We receive light. We receive illumination. We receive simplicity and plainness of speech. We receive utterance. We ask, O God, that the communication of your word will come with understanding. The communication of your word will come with utterance. The communication of your word will come with clarity. I receive enablement of thought. I cause the heart of your people to be receptive to these words. And at the end of it all, your name will be glorified. I rebuke every spirit of misunderstanding, every religious spirit, and every veil that want to cover the understanding of your word. I remove them in the name of Jesus. I pray that every heart will be taught and Jesus will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Appreciating the gift of a pastor, part 2. Appreciating the gift of a pastor, part 2. Now, the context of this appreciation is two. There are two contexts. When you look at the word appreciate, there are two meanings, two major meanings that the word appreciate has. Number one, to appreciate something means to understand. To fully understand and grasp the meaning and significance of a thing. Please, can you write that down? When you talk about appreciating something, you are talking about coming to fully understand, coming to fully grasp the true meaning of something. And when we talk about the true meaning of something, please write this down. There are two things that comes with this kind of appreciation. Number one, you need to understand the purpose that thing is to serve. And then number two, how that thing is designed to serve that purpose. That's the first level of appreciation. The first level of appreciation is to fully understand, to grasp, to really to know the true meaning of something. And when we are talking about knowing the true meaning of a thing, we are talking about, number one, identifying its purpose. What purpose is it supposed to serve? Glory to God. When we talk about appreciating an Android phone. When we're talking about appreciating an Android phone, we are not just talking about appreciating Tecno L9 or iPhone 7. No. We are talking about what actually makes an Android phone different from the other kind of phones. We have the touchlight phone, isn't it? This phone that we use for touch. That only makes call. It's different from an Android phone. So, when we are talking about appreciating an Android phone, we are saying what makes an Android phone different from the other kind of phones. Do we get that now? But when we now say appreciating an iPhone, we are now saying how does an iPhone differs from a what? From a Samsung. So, we are not just appreciating the generic a function of an Android phone. We are now saying, let's compare and contrast Android and Samsung. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we are saying appreciating the gift of a pastor, we are saying coming to terms embracing, coming to really understand that this is the role a pastor is designed by God to play. Glory to God. And then to also appreciate in this context now is to now, the second context now, the second level of appreciation is to now do what we call recognition and value. So the first context is coming to grasp, embrace, understand the meaning of a pastor, his purpose, and how he's to carry it out. The second level of appreciation is now recognizing and valuing a pastor. You see, it's different. For example, appreciating a hardcover note and then valuing this very one. They are the two contexts of appreciation. Appreciating a phone and then valuing your own phone. You know, there are two different things. You can actually have a phone and you don't value it. Even though it's helping you to make call. It's actually performing its role. But possibly the keypads are bad. The screen is not working. Do you understand? So because of that, you don't really value it as much like when everything is working. Do we understand what I'm trying to say? So the two levels of appreciation is number one, understanding, and then number two, value. Let's push the first a little bit. I explained to us last time that there is a biblical role a pastor is to serve in your life. For you to be able to appreciate the gift, you must first of all understand the purpose. For you to appreciate the role, for you to appreciate the gift, you must understand the role. And I made you to understand that functions, roles, shouldn't be understood outside of purpose. That was the reason why I started from purpose. Raise your head, everybody. You can never appreciate what a keyboard will do if you don't first understand why somebody designed a keyboard. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't actually appreciate what a car should be doing in your life if you don't understand the purpose of a car. So we said this, that it is purpose that determines what? Functions. For example, I cannot suddenly wake up and decide that my light will become a keyboard. The light was not designed to what? Produce sound. The light was designed to bring about what? Lightning, illumination. So when you come to this hall, for example, and the lights are off, you don't say, "Ima, please turn on the keyboard." Did you say, "Ima, turn on the keyboard"? No. What do you tell him to turn on? Turn on the light. Because light serves the purpose of illumination. Understanding that helps you to appreciate. It was Miles Monroe that said, when you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. When you know the purpose of a thing, you will honor it. Glory to God. So we now establish that there are four purposes a pastor is to serve in your life. Everybody bring out your pen and paper and write. Especially those of you that were not there when I mentioned it. Number one, a pastor is God's gift to get you fed with the ideal meal needed for your nourishment and growth. A pastor's purpose is to ensure that you grow. That's the purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, if you read from verse 12. You can only mature when you are growing. A child that is not growing cannot what? Cannot mature. So, how does a pastor achieve that purpose? Number one, it feeds you. Number two, it ensures that the meal is ideal. And then number three, it ensures that the meal nourishes and makes you grow. So, the purpose of a pastor is to feed you. so that you can grow to maturity. That is the first purpose a pastor should serve in your life. Glory to God. Do you understand what I just said? A pastor is God's wisdom to ensure that you are fed. Number two, a pastor is designed by God to attend to you as a sheep so that you can be healthy, comfortable, and protected. The number two purpose of a pastor is to attend to you, to tend the sheep, to tend the sheep, to tend the believer as a sheep, so that, number one, you are healthy. So the pastor washes over your spiritual health. Now that's the role he's performing in that context. Remember I told you, purpose defines what? Function. So you can't separate function from what? From purpose. Because it is in carrying out its function that it accomplishes what? Its purpose. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the two are intertwined. So a pastor is God's wisdom to see that as a sheep, you are attended to. So how does he do that? Number one, he ensures that you are adequately what? Nourished. Nourishment. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm sure you know that there is a difference between feeding and nourishment. Do you know there is a difference? Do you know there is a difference? Do you know? Or I should tell you the difference. Okay, there is a difference. Now, the difference between feeding and nourishment is that one is a means to an end. Now, feeding means that something passes through your throat and gets into your body. Nourishment means that it gets into your body and performs the ideal role is to perform in your body. For example, there are different categories of food. We have protein, we have carbohydrate, we have vitamins, we have minerals. Now, if I choose to give you only carbs, there's going to be a problem. You will be what we call malnourished. Do you know when somebody is malnourished? What does it mean for somebody to be malnourished? It means that he's actually eating, but he's not eating the ideal nutrient for his growth. So there is a difference between being fed and being what? Being nourished. Being fed means that something entered your stomach. Even if it is pomo. You know what I call pomo? I remember those days they used to say pomo doesn't have anything. It's like, but you see, if I give you like 10 pomo to eat now, your tummy will be full. I'll give you a bottle of Coke to step it down. Do you get? You'll be fed. You'll be fed, isn't it? But the question is, will it add anything to your body? It won't, because it does not have the necessary nutrient to sustain your body function. Get that? So the reason why a pastor is not just a feeder, the role of a pastor does not end in feeding you. A pastor is a shepherd. So he's checking. For example, he notices that for a while now you are looking emaciated. Or you look weak. You come to service, you look weak. He knows that a particular nutrient is lacking in your what? In your spiritual life. For example, there is a nutrient that fasting is supposed to supply to your spiritual life. How many of you know that? There is a nutrient that praying in tongues is supposed to supply to your spiritual life. There is a nutrient that going out for evangelism is supposed to supply to your spiritual life. There is a nutrient that giving is supposed to supply to your spiritual life. There is a nutrient that meditating on the word of God. You know, most of the times we believe that the only thing a pastor should do is just to preach sermons. No. Feeding means he preaches sermon. But shepherding means that he ensures that that salmon is combining with all the resources to make sure you are growing. For example, if you are a Christian that comes to service and you listen to a pastor very, very well, you don't meditate, you don't fast, you don't pray in the spirit, you don't go out for evangelism, you don't sing spiritual song, you don't do those things, you will be quashocolized. You will be what? You will be malnourished. The reason is because the role of a pastor is to ensure that apart from you taking the food is doing the real work. And that's what I was telling you then. I said, for some persons, they always complain, why are they not looking good? Like, their skin is dry and all those things. And then you go to the cosmetic shop and then you buy a cream that has glycerin inside. Now, what cream actually does is to help you supplement some things that you are not eating. That's why if you check the content of cream, most of them, especially the organic ones, now those nutrients, you know, we buy food shop. Now they go buy for the cream. Am I communicating? How many of you know that? How many of you know that? Oh, you don't know. Go and read. So it goes to mean that if you are eating well and you are not exposing your body to too much of sun and all those problems, and you are eating well, even if you are using granite oil to rub, your skin will be healthy. Do I have a witness? Okay. Now, why? Because most of this cream, actually, they got their composition from nutrients, plants. So it goes to mean that they just want you to apply it. It will perform its function from outside. But if you take it in, it will perform its function from what? From inside. So the pastor is God's wisdom to ensure that you are taking in the right meal. And then, because he's a shepherd, he ensures that you are not exposed to the wrong rays of light. That's why you see the next word there, protect. Protect. A pastor is God's wisdom to protect you. Protect you from the evil one, protect you from errors, protect you from mistakes, protect you from junks. Although, you know, some Christians just like junk. You say, I don't like that church. It's only preach and pray they are doing. Can somebody even dance? And then they forget that dancing does not do anything. Dancing is like pomo. Yeah. There are times you need to dance. So that you will not come and say, pastor does not like dancing. That's why they don't always do praise. They do worship. They don't like dancing. I like dancing. But you must understand that sometimes it's not just by the step. It should come from your spirit. So meaning that if you are going to praise God with a dance that God will accept, is a dance that actually glorifies him. It's not a skelewu and big basi bese, how do you call it? Those ones that looks like dance that they are have where they are manufacturing them from. And funny enough, now Christians, they embrace them pass. So they will just jump like this, jump like that. What did they call that one? You don't want to talk, Abby. Eh? But I tell you to come and dance it now, you dance it very well. Glory to God. If you don't have a pastor in your life, you will just be eating pomo. That's why you see some ladies, they are not up to 25. They are already looking like 40. They chop anything choppable. I know some ladies that can wake up from sleep, go to their pot, pick 3 meat and chop. And then sleep like that. Don't know it's poison. So now they are 25. Their mother is even younger than them. Yes. And they say, as I forget that thing. Fat is in our family. We inherit it. Calm down. Calm down. It's wrong meal pattern. Go and read. Doctor already told you that any food you eat after 7 is poison. It's poison. It's not performing its function. Because that's the reason why most of what you are eating right now, you will not know they are poison until you are 50. until you are 70. Because the body is receiving them. It's storing them somewhere. That's why you see some people, they are already 60 and they don't leave the hospital. You see those sickness, those old age sickness. Now those things, you don't store. Sit down one day, go to Google, study the nutritional problem of Coke. You see how sweet as Coke is. Just go and do a study on the nutritional hazard. Let me speak English now. The nutritional hazard of Coca-Cola. In fact, you will wake up and like, I will never take Coca-Cola in my life again. But you see, there's something about that Coca-Cola. It's very tempting. Even with all the knowledge, someday you'll just bring this thing, let's take it. We'll drink water and the thing will flush away. But in the real sense, it's wrong. So that's what a pastor does. It tells you, you have been exposing your life to lies. And right now, it's not making any sense. Because there is nothing contending for it. Then giving 5 years later, you now get married. And then when you get married, for one reason or the other, 2 months after the marriage, your husband lost his job. 6 months later, you have a miscarriage. And then 1 year later, your mother-in-law becomes a thorn in your flesh. And then 1.5 years later, the pastor comes and tells you your problem is your mother-in-law. And there's one mark she has in her face. She had an accident some years ago. He said, Shebi, she's old. He said, yes. And there's one mark in his face, and that's the mark. Anytime that mark sees your face, it's a monitoring spirit. And then you are jumping from one pillar to another post. You are running, looking for problem. I must get pregnant. My husband must get a job. So, but a time came when we were teaching you Matthew 6 verse 33. Seek first the kingdom and every other thing will be added. What purpose has God called you to serve? Every marriage is a purpose, is defined to fulfill a purpose. So either finds a wife, finds a good thing. Why? Because God said it is not good for the man to live alone. Oh, he didn't know that was the reason why Proverbs made that statement. Either find a wife, find a good thing. Because God said it's not good for a man to live alone. So he provided a wife. So a wife is a good thing to a man. So that understanding alone takes you to the place of prayer. And say, Lord, no. I can't marry and 2 months my husband loses his job. No. God, something has to be attended to. Where cometh this from? Now, the reason why you can activate that system in your life, because a pastor taught you that the purpose of your husband is not a reward for old age. I was still asking somebody yesterday, why do you want to marry? He said, sir, my friends are marrying now. Do you think I'm a small girl? I said, tall. Okay, sis, Alpha, can you tell me 3 things you have to perform in a man's life? Sir, leave that thing. She'll be on my sister's are married. Calm down. You see, that's the challenge. Do you get what I'm saying? Because remember I told you that you can only get function in the place of purpose. So when you understand why God ordained a husband, you will not have problem even choosing one. Glory to God. So you now realize that I need to calm down. So after all the many, many noise, I say, calm down. Let me teach you. He said, but the problem I have is that you don't want to learn. Because to you, I just want to marry. So that I can post it on status. And just, media is spoiling our mindset about so many things. God is now saying, I will give you pastors. And apart from them feeding you, look how the Bible said they will feed you with Jeremiah 3 verse 15. So look how the Bible said they will feed you. They will not only feed you with knowledge, they will feed you with understanding. It's deeper. Understanding is deeper than knowledge. And let me give you a practical explanation of the difference between knowledge and understanding. The difference between knowledge and understanding is DYDS. There's something called almighty formula, isn't it? You use it to solve quadratic equation. Now, knowing that almighty formula is knowledge. But I now give you a particular quadratic equation. And I tell you, use any formula. And then for that quadratic equation, the only formula that can work is Almighty formula. But for you to now know that is Almighty formula you are to use, you must first of all have gotten what? Understanding. So that's why if you don't settle in a local church, for some of you, you come here and you only come on Sundays and you just come and they are the kind of people, when they come on Sunday, say the music, the worship not even sweet self. So those are the same set of people that when life challenges comes after them, they will go and visit a babalawo and quote that heaven help those who what? Help themselves. Because nobody has fed them with understanding. Glory to God. A shepherd knows that the sheep is lean. And if I allow this sheep to travel from here to Erile, it may die before it gets to Erile. So he says, you stay back. Tend to him here. As I sometimes, you get to a church and then the pastor looks at you and says, bro, calm down. Go and join the ministry. Calm down. Just calm down. Take 6 months and learn. All this your jumping you are doing. Calm down and what? And learn. Because you are too lean. And the cure to leanness is feeding. Glory to God. So the pastor ensures that you are nourished. The pastor ensures that you are comfortable. He begins to teach you scriptures and promises to activate when the comfort, the discomfort of life comes. You know, as a believer, whenever you go through challenges and you become discouraged, it's a byproduct of the meal you have been fed with. It was Job that said, I know my Redeemer lives. Now, why did he make that statement? The Bible says Job is a man that feared God. So he understood that, see, right now I'm sick, there is boil all over me, but I know God can't leave me. That's the man that have been fed with the comfort of scriptures. A pastor navigates your life. Are you discouraged? Are you burdened? You tell him, see, right now I'm just discouraged. I'm losing it. I shouldn't have any reason to fail this exam. But right now I failed it. And then you are crying. You are crying. Because you don't like failure. Nobody likes failure. The pastor begins to encourage you. Say, this is not going to be for bad. Because all things work together for good to them that love God. I know you love God. But if it's an hireling will look at you and tell you, say, Shebi, I tell you, may you sow seed 2 weeks ago, you refuse. God don't cash you now. You know, that's the challenge with not having a pastor in your life. Because there are people who come and then they tell you why. They have been with you. They have been with you. Glory to God. They have been with you. So, you're not God to have all the answers. But because you have a ministry over their life, you can tell them, see, it's not going to end this way. Glory to God. Glory to God. Remember when one of us had a carryover and then she was just crying. Give her a handkerchief. I said, clean your eyes. When you finish crying, just clean your eyes. I said, hey, what did you say? He says, carryover. Okay, good. You did everything you could do and yet you got carryover. It's all well. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that what? That love God. Carryover is not the end of it. Pick yourself up. But one thing I can guarantee you is that you're not going to fail it again. So we're going to pray, we're going to trust God. And that's just, okay, go meet the lecturer involved, and then another lecturer, okay, let's do the course. What if it now leads to extra year? It has not led to extra year. Do you understand? Comfort. You don't understand that your mind cannot stay in one place. And that's one of the verses I use in one of those teachings. I said Christ becomes an anchor for your soul. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. A pastor is God's voice reminding you that though it tarries, it's going to come. It's God's wisdom for your growth. But beyond that, it's God's wisdom for your nourishment. Beyond that, it's God's wisdom for your comfort. And then they are God's wisdom for protecting you. Protection. Glory to God. And then number three, the purpose of a pastor. The pastor is God's wisdom for your growth so that you can bear fruit. The pastor is to nurture like a plant the believer so that they can grow into maturity and bear fruit. Bear fruit, bear fruit. Like that verse we read, Luke 13, verse 6. The Bible says, he came and checked. Now that's the work of a pastor. He checked your life. See, sister, based on how well you have come, you are not supposed to act like that to him. You know, there are sometimes you go meet your pastor and says, see, you see that guy, I don't think this marriage can work. Don't think. Now it has not become married. Let's just end it now. Let me tell you this, people of God. We think that because God's will is in a thing, it's not going to come through challenges. Can I say that again? There is this part of us that assumes that because this thing is the will of God, it's the will of God that I should stay in offer. And then everything will just be going well. No. Remember what I told you. I said purpose determines challenges. Everybody say challenges. Even in God's purpose, there are always challenges. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, he said one day, angel appeared to Joseph, Mary's father, Mary's husband and Jesus' father, earthly father. He said, take this child and go to where? Egypt. Get up. I mean, anointed Jesus, man. Go to Egypt. He woke up. Bible said immediately. Before, in fact, he even used wisdom. You know, Bible said, go to Egypt. He didn't tell him when. Now, early morning, not let day break. The guy understood what God was saying. So, most times, when you don't have a pastor in your life, you will assume that everything is to mess you up. Do you get what I'm saying? You assume that whatever you go through is just to mess you up. But when God takes you through the ministry of a pastor, it makes you to understand that even in fruit bearing, there is something called pruning. Everybody say pruning. Pruning. Weeding. Say weeding. Weeding. And there is no way you're going to be weeding a plant that somehow, during the course of the weeding, it will not affect the soil. Some it can. There are some kind of character you are displaying right now. There is a particular nourishment that will help you conquer that bad character. I'm not going to marry again. I'm not going to, let's end this thing. So we assume that because God said, he is your husband, angel will just come over him and the power from on high will overshadow him. Yes. But you see, he's still a human being with spirit, soul, and what? Body. So God will now take you through to teach you how to develop what we call patience. Can we see the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You see those fruits? It is the wisdom of God that through the ministry of a pastor, you will bear those fruits. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then, for you to bear those fruits, you take time to learn. That's the reason. It's going to happen the same process. Everybody said the same process. As you learn. So you come to service on Thursday and then it takes you through 30 minutes praying in tongues to just open you up. So that when you go back home, you'll be stirred up to pray at night. But then you didn't come to service. You're just at home after washing all the pictures, all the horrific, terrible pictures and everything. No nutrient, no meal to flush them off. And then you sleep in the dream. They are using fire to pursue you. You know, there is a level to which you will be built. There is a level to which you would have become mature that things will not easily get to your heart because you have been built. Glory to God. That's the fourth function. The ministry of a pastor is to build you up. It's to build you up. There are some things that as he is there, he can carry. She will not be able to carry it. Praise God. Glory to God. There's something called drilling. Sometimes when a pastor gives you correction, everybody say correction, is drilling. And the truth is, many of us, that's what we don't like. Don't like correction. Don't like it. How will you talk to me like that? And you see that, why will you talk to me like that? You carry that attitude and your husband talks to you like that. And you ask him, why will you talk to me like that? And the next thing he does, he lands his five on your jaw. And then reminds you that I paid your diary. But no try, I'm a brother. I always tell sisters, any brother by mistake or by choice lays his hand on you, his filthy hands on you, that they break the relationship. Who says so? Me. Because Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, let a man love his wife as he loves his body. And this is very, very profound. Have you seen a man beating himself? Just stand like this and he's just sitting, slapping himself. Even yourself, God, he's a madman. Have you, sister? So he beats you the first time. You know, there are some ladies that when the guy beat them, say, sir, I love him, Joe. You know, husbands are cast. Men are not. Don't worry. They are scarce, actually. Praise God. And the men that are scarce, people are finding good one. Your own, you just want to die there. Huh? You know, there was one that said, that was how they were brought up, that the mom told her that if a man does not beat you, he does not love you. So that's why you need a pastor in your life. So it's your pastor that will not teach you that no, it's not like that. Well, have you seen me beat my wife before? So follow good example. Praise God. Follow what? Good example. So when you have the ministry of a pastor, you become built up. And one of the ways it builds you up is to correct you. Your pastor can walk up to you and tell you, you see, you need to tread with caution. You need to. All your friends, they are not spiritual. 1, 2, 3 of your major friends, they are not good. You need to check. You see your status. Anything you like, just a dump there. No, it's not good. You are a minister. You are what? You are a minister. You see those things, some people don't like it. Free at last. I am free. Sir, let me just be free. Listen to this. Every freedom that is not regulated will lead your life to accident. Imagine if a car is free to move and doesn't have brake. To kill everybody that's inside. So the pastor is God's wisdom to put break in your life. You need some break. Glory to God. You need some break. You are going too fast. Guy just met you last week. He's already promising heaven and earth. He's already camp. This thing is too fast. So guess what? He's saying marriage is 2 months time. Sister, calm down now. Calm down. I know the prophecy you receive in January that God will give you speed. But you see that speed, this will not join them. Just calm down. Let's check it. You will marry, but let's slow down. Sir, you don't understand. This guy really loves me. Did I tell you he does not love you? Maybe when you've carried the fruit, go give Adam. They tell you, say, you've not loved Adam. Praise God. You say, what do you even know about love? She been, and we preach for God so love the word for what for you. We will teach you the true meaning of love. Glory to God. You know, some kind of love that some sister are talking about is those butterfly love. It's not real love. So calm down. We will not tell you that, see, for you to be able to discern. You look at what he said in that Hebrews 5. He said, strong meat belongs to them that have what? Full age. Those who endure gym well. Not be everybody go fit carry 50 kg now. Not everybody fit carry 50 kg. But you can carry 50 kg. You drill. There are some of you, you keep complaining, sir, you see, I can't pray for more than 10 minutes. It's because you have not appreciated the ministry of a pastor. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are some people, when they started coming, I know some of them. I want to even put mic in some of their mouth. Let's ask them how many minutes they were praying when they came. There were some that if they want to pray for 1 hour, they will play music. They will sing for like 45 minutes. and use 15 minutes to pray. And some people are still in that leg, in that shoe. Praise God. People have never in their life prayed in tongues, stretched 1 hour. So, I mean, some of them are even, they're big names. They are the kind of people that will tell you, see, this church, now we start them. But they can't pray in tongues for 1 hour. Con. 15 minutes, it's a tongue, 1 hour. Wait, how could they talk? Now the matter be that. Because you've not been trained. The word exercise in that verse of scripture, I'm talking about Hebrews 5 verse 14. The word exercise, he was talking about gymnasium. That's where you have the word gymming. There are kind of body builds you will not get by sleeping on your bed. Glory to God. Am I communicating? Wake up in the morning. And you see, one thing about gymming is that if you go to gym the first time, when you go home, you can sleep for 12 hours. All your joints will be paining you. Do I have a witness? But keep going. Keep going. Keep going. The body will what? Adjust to it. So God understands that your body does not like good spiritual things. So he now expects you to embrace the ministry of a pastor so that by fire, by what? By force. You will like it. For example, you were told, let's have a prayer for 2 hours, non-stop, tongues. And then you're like, 2 hours. This one that has never in our own life prayed for 15 minutes. You are wondering, but don't worry, come. Do you understand? We pray the prayer, reach one place, you don't tire, I'll go hold you for hand. Oh yeah, drop the bag. You will, see, now 2 hours, we must get there. Everybody say we must get there. It's training. It's what? Hold it. We'll be praying the praying. Lepradu Zagaya. Jagad. It's training, no? Don't mind waiting with the talk. Now training. Shalegedo Zubalia. Hey, do and finish. When you go out, say, me, pray for 2 hours. You have broken the limit. Do you understand? You want to do it again. But when you sit down for your ass, which pastor won't call you? Go wash African marriage. African magic Yoruba. You will wash. So people now there they go take sleep, wake. When they sleep, wake around 4. Father, thank you. Today is blessed. Today is blessed. Today is blessed. And then as they go out, they enter bike. How far? I'm going to Great Generation. Okay, Great Generation. Okay. And then the bike carry you reach Great Generation. I say, madam, your money now 150. Bro, suffer. Because you are not well built up, you know, and you know that kind of person when they say, even the money when they your hand, that's 17 naira, even the pain you say you want is a payback. I go, you say, bro, suffer, you decrease. Yes, that's also a problem till they start. Because you already the verse. You know, somebody say every Nigerian look like person with the verse. I'm not a monk, I'm not looking like I'm here, I'm well, I'm being built up, praise God. You know, there are some ways that some bike man will respond to you early in the morning. You feel like punching them. Have you been there before? They did me one day. One do me. I look at yours. I just remember, say, I'm a man of God. Let me just coordinate myself. But because I have some Jimmy systems that I've subscribed to that keeps my anger under check. Did you get what I just said? My anger fuse is being stretched. But I have a ministry of God's word that is checking it. So I check. I go out. No. You're not so. You know now. You don't talk to your boss like that. Now go back. Let's try them again. It's an exercise. You see, the challenge most of us have is we think that because you just got born again, you will just be strong almost immediately. You will be perfect almost immediately simply because you casted that word demon. Calm down. It takes the anointing to cast a demon, but it takes spiritual gymming to avoid an anger. Write it down. With anointing, you can cast demon. But see, anger, you need gymming. The Bible says you should create allowance. You see, the capacity to create the allowance is in the ministry of a shepherd. Get angry too much. Pastor, call you. Sit down, calm down. The reason why you are always angry, I told someone some days ago, said, do you know why people easily get angry? is because their life is colored with pride. The offspring of pride, one of them is anger. Go and study it. The reason why you are angry is because there is pride in your heart. So every time somebody does something that you don't expect, you provoke. Now, you don't expect. So you are the question here. So that's why if you want to deal with anger, your pastor will not teach you how to esteem others better than what? Than yourself. Put you where you belong. And then when he sees how you felt when he corrected you, he may not say anything, but 2 weeks later, someone like me, I'll tell you, there's pride in your life and deal with it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I will not teach you how to overcome anger now. Do you know what I'll teach you? How to what? Deal with what? With pride. Because by the time you deal with the pride in your life, bros, you don't go angry, oh. He says, sir, you don't understand. Anger is in our family. My father is a Navy man. Anger was born in us. You are not in that family. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. My father not be army, but you know, if we do pass army, sir. The root of every ungodliness is in the old man. So it is the responsibility of the pastor to now teach you how to build that your small spirit. No, your spirit is. It's not up to 2 hours. Now, maybe I said we'll do a 2-hour prayer exercise. It's not. It's just 15 minutes. You want to. So at least you appreciate pastors. They are trying to stand and be for hours, isn't it? We'll do it together. Let's go. Glory to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, go and sit down. So you realize that there is a part of your life that is small, lean. But because of the continuous exposure to spiritual exercises. Did you meditate this morning? So I did. Are you sure? Okay, what did you meditate on? You did not meditate. Actually, without accountability, you would think that you actually read a verse of the scriptures. You need accountability. You see, one of the places where we are being built up is accountability. Just like I started service this evening, asking questions on some things that I taught. And to be sincere, you thought you remembered what I taught. And that's the purpose of accountability. Glory to God. Did you meditate? Okay, yeah. What did you meditate on? Any question? No. Any question? No. Bros, calm down. How do you do your meditation? Because for me, even as much as I know the Bible, I meditate and I ask questions. You have to. I don't have any question. You have to. So, as the person is meditating, he knows that if he comes back and tells me meditated, I will say, what question do you have? So, he wants to make sure as he's meditating, he's looking for one question. Initially, it's not easy, but continually expose that person to that process for 3 months. His life, I stand to tell you, can never remain the same. Do I have a witness here? That's what brought some of you to where you are. Because you were built up. You want some bicep and some tricep. You think you just go to the gym and gym for 5 minutes and you go home. No. You stay there for 2 hours. You sweat. You come again. You say, but bros, this thing not they come out. Calm down. Not be once. Calm down. That is the role. So the building process is laborious. That is the reason why the work of a pastor, the Bible used the word what? Labor. Everybody say labor. They labor over you. Glory to God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So quickly before we round up, my time is already gone. Let's just look at how you can position yourself to benefit from these purposes. Don't forget, I told you that to appreciate means to grasp the purposes. So I want to believe that a number of us have been able to appreciate the purposes. Now let's look at how then do you benefit from the gift of a pastor. Because I already told you that for you to benefit from the gift of a pastor, you must understand the purpose. So I've established the purpose. How then do you now benefit? Number one, for you to benefit from the gift and ministry of a pastor, you must genuinely receive the pastor. If you're going to benefit from the gift of a pastor, you must receive the pastor. Say it with me, you must receive him. You must receive her. To receive in this contest means that, number one, to accept the purpose he is to carry out in your life. Did you get what I just said? Do you understand what I just said? That if a pastor is going to help you to grow, if a pastor is going to help you to be fed, if a pastor is going to help you to be built up such that you don't get angry anyhow, you don't rise and fall anyhow, if a pastor is going to watch over your life so that you can bear fruit, you can stand in the place of ministry, number one, you must receive him. That's what I say. You must what? Receive him. And to receive him means that you yourself already understand the role he's coming to play in your life. Do you get what I'm saying? For example, somebody knocks my door and then he said, I said, hello, is there? He says, me. I don't know that voice. Hello, is there? He says, me. Who are you? It's me. Who are you looking for? It's me. Bros, you died here. Is it not true? In this time that we are. I have a fine wife and fine kids. And it's me. I just opened up for it's me. No way. You stand there and die there. Okay. It's me. The guy that normally repairs car. Okay. Car, B. What's your name? I know the guys that repair my car. Do you understand? I can't open my door because I don't know you. And I'm not just going to know you because you are a maker. I want to know what you're coming to do here. Okay, sir, you don't know me. Okay, yes, it's true. I don't know you. But that means there is a purpose. Okay, I'm actually sent by Mama Titi to come and give you okay. Oh, you are the one? Hey, you for not talking since now. We are coming inside. Do you understand? So when we're talking about receiving here, we are not just saying a pastor comes and says, see, I'm a pastor. And then you say, oh, welcome, sir. You are welcome. No way. You will receive an hireling into your life. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why some of you, you got into churches and then go and listen to the discussion we had first week of this month. I like that prophet, oh. Pastor T. Kai. Say, there's something in your body. I want to help you to remove it. Everybody say deep. Pastors have been, some have been removing things from people's body since, praise God. They would draw one, say the first pastor that removed something from somebody's, a woman's back. You know, there was one, this thing that was raining that time. You should receive based on what? Everybody say role assessment. You understand the role. See, sir, that guy can preach. In fact, if you see the way he was dissecting and upsetting, and I think he's my mentor. Bros, calm down now. Calm down. There is a difference between mentor and mentor. Calm down. Just calm down. Watch him. Give him time. Watch him. Give him time. Check his life. Check the people around his life. Check the ministry. Check his character. And but sir, see, the guy saw vision. In fact, he called my phone number, eh? Some babalawos can do that very well. In fact, they can even tell you the day you were born. They will tell you were born on a Sunday. Familiar spirit does that very well. So calm down. When we're talking about receiving, we are not saying receiving because he puts collar in his neck. We are not saying receiving because he has PST in front of his name. We are saying receiving because you have adjudged that he can perform purpose one, purpose two, purpose three, and purpose four. Sir, welcome. Glory to God. Are you following me? Calm down. Go back, check the purposes. That's why many people have found themselves in places where they are practically lean. I know some people that got to some places, they were very, very edified when they got there. You know, they were trained from home now. Their mom helped them. Their mom don't show them. And then they came to Ofapoli. And then invited them to KDC or somewhere and said, that place is too far. Sir, see, it's been our church. God is everywhere. And then they branch. And then 6 months later, you see them afar. That zeal you saw, pum, like water, everything don't die. Errors upon errors, mistakes upon mistakes. Because like Jesus said, it is only a good shepherd that will see the wolves coming and tell you, see, come aside. You can't die in the hands of wolves. But when you have not been able to receive one, the last one you received him simply because he can speak good English. And from all the purposes I gave to you just now, I did not include a pastor must speak good English. Did I add it to it? Huh? You are looking at me. Did I add it to it? Pastor must know how to dress, change clothes. Huh? Oh. Number one, he must have God's meal to feed you with. Number two, he must be able to attend to you. Number three, he must be able to build you up. Number four, he must be able to see that you are dadding. You must understand that receiving a pastor in this context means accepting that he can perform the what? The roles. He can fulfill the what? The function. And then number two, receiving a pastor means that you value the gift. To receive in the contest, number one means to accept that he will play the role. Number two means that you treasure. You see that he's a treasure to me. Just like the parable in Matthew chapter 13. He said the kingdom of God is like a woman that found a pearl, precious pearl, and went and sold all that he had to acquire the field. It means that when you find a good pastor, treasure him. Glory to God. That's what it means to receive. Look at what Peter told Jesus. The Bible says Jesus asked him. He said, these people have left. John chapter 6. They have left. And then asked Peter, are you going to leave also? What did Peter say? He said, where will we go? We go nowhere. We die here. Why? In you I have found that you have the word of this life. So as far as you are in my life, I'm safe. I value you. That was why after I betrayed Jesus the third time, it came to his senses. The Bible says what? He wept. Because he knew by all standard, he shouldn't have done that. When you receive the ministry of a gift, or the ministry of a gift of a pastor, number one, you embrace the role is to serve in your life. That means you are ready. You receive it. See, when you receive a pastor, like I said, it means you are ready to bow to those four rules. For example, he calls you and tells you, see, there is prayer meeting in church, workers meeting by four, and we're going to be praying for 2 hours. That's when you remember that you have one assignment that you want to do. You have not received him. You are only hypocrites. You are only an hypocrite. Because receiving means I'm ready to what? To grow. Say it with me, I'm ready to grow. And then number two, receiving it means I treasure the gift in my life. Can we be on our feet as we appreciate God? Lift up your hands and say once again, Father, thank you for the gift